Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the February 19th special meeting of the Community Development Commission of Chicago. I am Chairman Jorge Perez, and I will begin the meeting with a call of the roll. Vice Chair Newsom. Secretary Butler.
Present.
Commissioner Alphonse. Commissioner Brooks. Commissioner Buford. Commissioner Cepeda. Commissioner Curtis. Commissioner Davis. Commissioner Delgado. Commissioner Griggs. Commissioner Reifman, Commissioner Rhodes, Commissioner Roldan, Commissioner Thomas. All right, we have a quorum. The two items of business on today's agenda for the special meeting of the Community Development Commission regard a public hearing for the proposed Cortland-Chicago River TIF and a request for designation of the developer for the major project within that TIF. These actions will be combined into one staff presentation, followed by two votes. I'm going to read description of these items into the record, and then I'm going to recess the regular commission meeting in order for us to have a public hearing on the proposed TIF district and the developer designation. I will then reconvene the regular meeting of the CDC in order for us to proceed with the votes. Therefore, the first item on today's agenda is to recommend approval for the redevelopment plan for the proposed Cortland-Chicago River Tax Increment Financing Redevelopment Project area. Recommend designation of the area as a tax increment financing redevelopment project area, and recommend adoption of the tax increment financing for the area. And the second item on the agenda requests authority to negotiate a redevelopment agreement with Cortland Chicago Rivers Partners LLC and or a related entity for redevelopment of the property known as Lincoln Yards, bounded by Bestley Court and Webster, Clybourne and North Avenues in the Cortland-Chicago River Tax Increment Financing Redevelopment Project Area, and to recommend to the City Council of the City of Chicago the designation of Cortland-Chicago River LLC and or a related entity as developer. With that, I will now recess the regular commission meeting and open the public hearing on these matters. Chip Hastings will present the staff report on behalf of the Department of Planning and Development. Mr. Hastings.
Thank you, Chairman. Good afternoon, Commissioners. For the record, my name is Chip Hastings, Managing Deputy Commissioner of the Bureau of Economic Development within the Department of Planning and Development. As Chairman Perez mentioned, today's presentation is for the following purposes. First, I will walk through the basics of TIF and how TIF funds are typically used. I'll also discuss the adoption of the North Branch Framework Plan and how it relates to the Cortland-Chicago River TIF. Next, I'll discuss the proposed Cortland-Chicago River TIF district, explain how it qualifies for designation, the goals of the area, and the TIF plan budget. Finally, I will present the developer designation, which will include a brief description of the regional public infrastructure and improvements for the area, as well as the citywide benefits that will occur as a result of the private development on the site. There are two sets of actions requested before you today. The first set is to recommend to the City Council the approval of the redevelopment plan, the designation of the area as a redevelopment project area, and adoption of tax increment financing for the area. The second set of actions is to recommend to the City Council the designation of Cortland Chicago River Partners LLC as the developer and the ability, granting the ability to negotiate and deliver on the City's behalf a redevelopment agreement with Cortland Chicago River Partners LLC for the project. As required by the Illinois Tax Increment Redevelopment Act, notices regarding the proposed designation and today's meeting were published in the Chicago Sun-Times and mailed to all owners, taxpayers, and residential addresses within the proposed project area. Related to the TIF designation, the city also held a community meeting at the Renew Chicago Church on November 14, 2018, that was attended by more than 400 people. The plan was filed with the city clerk and made available to the public as of November 30, 2018, and the Joint Review Board of the Taxing Districts met on January 11th of this year to review the proposed TIF. In addition, there have been more than 40 stakeholder meetings held over the past 2.5 years in relation to the North Branch Framework Plan, the plan development, and the TIF designation. We have a letter of support from Alderman Hopkins and more than 20 letters of support from various community and trade organizations, including Black Contractors United, Friends of the Chicago River, and the Illinois Road Transportation Builders Association. Now I'm going to go through a brief overview of the TIF program, including a short 101 discussion and a description of how the city typically utilizes TIF funds. In Chicago, the first TIF was designated in 1984, several years after the state of Illinois passed the TIF statute. The legislation has been amended several times since, but still provides the legal framework, rules, and regulations for the use of TIFs throughout Illinois. That framework allows the city to establish a district, but only in places that meet specific eligibility requirements. Generally, a specific geographic area needs to demonstrate what the Act refers to as blighting factors. Once a TIF is in place, there are limitations as to how it can and cannot be used. In brief, some of the most common allowable uses are public infrastructure and improvements, which we're focusing on today, affordable housing, environmental remediation, and the rehabilitation of existing buildings. Once the city designates a TIF, the Cook County assessor freezes taxes for the area, thereby establishing a baseline. Incremental property taxes are derived from value created above this baseline following the designation. Those funds are then utilized within the specific geographic area for the duration of the TIF, rather than being distributed throughout all of Cook County. That being said, the proposed Cortland-Chicago River TIF has a very specific purpose. The city intends to use TIF funds for the construction of regional public infrastructure and improvements. I'd like to provide a brief overview of how TIF has been utilized in Chicago since 2011. A common misconception is that it is mostly used for private development deals. However, that is simply not correct. The pie chart behind me represents the City of Chicago's allocation of TIF funds during the Emanuel administration from 2011 through the end of 2018. The two categories that represent the largest allocation of TIF funds are public infrastructure and transit facilities, which total about 58% of the allocations. If you include schools, parks, and municipal facilities, that figure increases to 78%. So restated, almost 80% of all TIF funds since 2011 have been committed in support of public infrastructure and improvements. Conversely, only 16% of funds have been committed to economic development projects. This category includes redevelopment agreements, the Small Business Improvement Fund, Retail Thrive Zones, and the job training through our TIFWorks program. Another common, often repeated misconception is that neighborhood development takes a back seat to downtown projects. Again, the numbers simply don't support this position. The reality is, the allocation of TIF dollars since 2011, 86% to be precise, has overwhelmingly been committed to our neighborhoods. When discussing the Cortland-Chicago River TIF, it's imperative to talk about the North Branch Framework Plan. In brief, the North Branch Framework Plan, which kicked off in June of 2016, was the first in a series of ongoing comprehensive reviews of the city's 26 industrial corridors. The framework establishes a vision to modernize the corridor's land use, transportation infrastructure, and open space assets to better meet the changing needs of both the neighborhood and the city as a whole. The framework plan was developed over a nearly year-long process, again beginning in June of 2016 and culminating with its approval by the Chicago Plan Commission in May 2017. As part of this process, more than 800 participants reviewed and offered their input at one of the 18 meetings related to the plan. The North Branch Framework Plan documented three main goals: to maintain the North Branch Industrial Corridor as a vital economic engine and job center within the City of Chicago, to provide better access for all transportation modes, be it car, pedestrian, public transit, and bike, and to build upon the North Branch Industrial Corridor's unique natural and built environment, which includes improvements to the riverfront. To advance these goals, the plan identified a number of necessary public infrastructure improvements, including those subsequently identified in the proposed TIF plan and subject to the proposed redevelopment agreement. The area's existing infrastructure, including roads, bridges, and public transportation, were all developed with industrial users in mind. The transition to a more mixed-use commercial residential area necessitates a significant investment in public infrastructure and improvements. The framework plan outlines the existing issues and describes a path for how the city can develop a new public infrastructure that will address those issues. The proposed projects that we're discussing here today largely mirror those described in the North Branch Framework Plan. So I'll transition a bit and start address the TIF district designation and eligibility. The needed investment that I just mentioned in infrastructure, however, means identifying the necessary funding to implement the recommendations of the framework plan, which specifically identified potential funding sources, including tax increment financing. The Cortland Chicago River TIF designation includes the eligibility of the area, the redevelopment plan, and finally, I'll describe the constraints of the area that act to prohibit redevelopment and the infrastructure needs as described in the North Branch Framework Plan. As you can see, we have a boundary map behind me, as well as a context map that showcases the area within the city. The proposed TIF is 168 acres and is roughly bounded by Webster Avenue on the north, North Avenue on the south, Clybourne Avenue on the east, and Elston Avenue on the west. After extensive site surveys and analysis, we believe the area qualifies as a blighted area under the requirements of the TIF Act. I'll walk through exactly what that means in a bit more detail momentarily. The area has significant congestion and connectivity issues for both vehicular and pedestrian traffic. The Elston-Armitage-Ashland intersection experiences significant traffic issues from each direction throughout the day. The Webster, Cortland, and North Avenue bridges are inadequate to address the ingress-egress needs for residents and commuters between the expressway and the surrounding neighborhoods. Due to the previously heavy industrial uses, the area has a lack of access to street rights-of-way and an irregular or non-existent street grid. Creating the Cortland-Chicago River TIF will help address the congestion connectivity issues that have negatively impacted the area for several years. TIF funds are needed to facilitate the conversion of an underutilized industrial area into a vital job center that functions as an economic engine for Chicago. In order to support this economic growth, TIF funds will be pledged primarily for the development of public infrastructure and improvements, thereby unlocking the full potential of the site. As part of this work, an eligibility study was performed to determine whether the proposed area is eligible for designation as a conservation and/or blighted area in accordance with the requirements of the Act. For the vacant area, the consultant found 4 of 6 factors are meaningfully present and reasonably distributed. For the improved area, the consultant found that 5 of 13 eligibility factors were present and reasonably distributed. The analysis concluded that both the improved and vacant parcels within the proposed boundary meet or exceed the requirements under the Act and therefore qualify as a blighted area. This aerial photo showcases the obsolete platting for the vacant area, as the parcels are irregularly shaped and varying in size with limited access to the street system. There's a lack of adequate utilities within the area as well. For example, the water and sewer lines are up to 145 years old. Most of them were built between 1874 and 1911. The building behind me highlights the area's obsolescence in terms of industrial properties. Typically, they're characterized by inadequate loading berths, low ceiling heights, and narrow column spacing, all of which are inconsistent with modern building standards and basic requirements for industrial properties. So this slide showcases the deterioration typical of many buildings within the TIF. You can see the deterioration of basic building components, including the columns, doors, and loading dock. These photos show the deterioration of the infrastructure within the area. You can see there's a significant amount of deterioration of the bridge, including crumbling concrete, exposed rebar, and significant corrosion to the components. This photo is an example of the existing seawall conditions. Many parts of the existing seawall are crumbling and deteriorating. While this is an extreme example, most of the seawall throughout the area has challenges. This slide is typical. It shows excessive land coverage within the proposed boundaries. The buildings cover most or all the property with inadequate provision for parking, loading, and pedestrian ingress or egress. In short, the area's conditions are no longer conducive to modern industrial uses. All redevelopment plans are required by the Act to define the goals and objectives for the proposed TIF district. The goals of the proposed TIF mirror those described in the North Branch Framework Plan. The key objective for the Cortland-Chicago River TIF is to provide a source of funds for public infrastructure and improvements. The primary goals for the district are to develop the area as a vital job center and to provide better access to all transportation modes for the area. As part of each TIF plan, an estimated budget is created. The budget is a projection of how much increment will be generated over the 23-year life of the TIF, as well as the statutory categories on which those funds can be spent. The project area has a budget of $900 million for the 23-year period. The eligible expense categories are set forth in the TIF Act and are universal for all districts throughout the state. Although the eligible categories and the overall amount cannot be changed, the Act allows for adjustments among categories without amending the plan. As you can see, the vast majority of increment is allocated to public works and improvements. Our intention is to use these funds over the next 23 years almost exclusively for these purposes. We are not providing funds for the private development deal. We are attempting to unlock the full potential of the site by utilizing increment created by the project to reimburse for the cost of constructing critical public infrastructure improvements throughout the area. As I mentioned earlier with the North Branch Framework Plan, the city has identified several new critical infrastructure needs. The proposed improvements include the Elston-Armitage-Ashland realignment, new roadways, reestablishing some semblance of a street grid, which you can see in red from North Dominic, Kingsbury, Armitage, and Concord on the south. Bridge construction, again, Armitage, the Armitage Bridge on the north, Dominic, and Concord, each of them would be new. The 606 extension, seawall reconstruction. And also, the city previously planned for the Webster Bridge and Cortland Bridge, utilizing proceeds from the existing North Branch North and North Branch South TIFs. Both bridges will be located within the new Cortland-Chicago River TIF district. There are also potential future improvements that include the Clybourne Metro Station, public open space, the transitway, and other public infrastructure improvements. At this point, I'll move to the developer designation portion of the presentation. So increment that will be created over the next 23 years because of the private development on site will be leveraged to construct the new regional public infrastructure and improvements. We are not proposing to fund the private development projects will occur on site as part of the Lincoln Yards project. The TIF funds will be used to construct new public infrastructure that will benefit the entire region and will be provided as a reimbursement over time. The city will require the developer to pursue all state and federal grants that could potentially offset these costs. As I mentioned a few moments ago, the city's approach in creating the Cortland-Chicago River TIF is to pay for public infrastructure and improvements to unlock the full potential of the former industrial area. This is an investment in infrastructure for the larger area, utilizing increment from the developer's project site that could unlock up to 10 times the total cost in direct private spending. Put into perspective, our almost $500 million public improvements could generate $6 billion in new private sector spending. Further, it is the private developer who bears the risk of the public improvement costs if that level of new private sector spending is not realized. The site is currently generating very little in terms of property taxes, so every tax dollar the project generates will be new and will not detract from existing needs and dedicated tax dollars. The city has identified several regional public infrastructure and improvements, as I mentioned, including Elston, Ashland, Armitage, several new streets and bridges, improving existing roadways, the 606 extension, and finally the seawall reconstruction along the Chicago River that will allow for the creation of a mile-long riverwalk and additional public open space. The city also anticipates potential future projects, the Clybourne Metro Station, public open space, but these projects would be subject to a future approval process. As you can see, currently the Elston-Armitage-Ashland intersection experiences significant traffic problems from each direction. Just north of this intersection, a bit further north along Elston, the Elston-Damon-Fullerton intersection had similar congestion issues, which were remediated with the realignment of Elston Avenue. Highlighted on the map are the new roads and bridges on Armitage on the north, Dominic in the middle, and Concord, as well as the extension of Kingsbury Street on the eastern end of the site. Currently, the angled configuration of Clybourne and Elston, coupled with the bend in the river and the lack of existing roadway connectors to the city grid, adds greatly to traffic congestion and the isolation of the sites. Traffic is further congested by the location of the expressway to the west and the Metra elevated lines. The aging infrastructure of these two systems poses both a safety risk as well as a significant choke point throughout the transportation system. One of the most important investments in infrastructure in the area will be those facilities that already exist. Kingsbury, Cortland, Elston, and other streets need improvements in order to facilitate traffic that is progressively less industrial in nature. Extending the 606 offers a safe path for pedestrians. This extension would cross both the Union Pacific rail lines, the Kennedy Expressway, and the Chicago River in order to connect to Armitage and Clybourne Avenues, both critical bike routes. It would also connect to the planned network of riverfront parks and trails in the area. This is another picture of another section of the seawall, which is also in poor condition. There's currently no public access to this section of the Chicago River. In addition, the development of the larger site cannot take place without the seawall being rebuilt. Doing so will allow for the mile-long riverwalk. These are the estimates for the individual public infrastructure items that we anticipate reimbursing with TIF funds. Again, the Elston-Armitage intersection, the new roadways that I mentioned, three new bridges, the 606 extension, and the river wall. In addition, the developer will incur significant infrastructure, site prep, and open space costs related to their project and site that we are not considering reimbursing with TIF. In terms of the financial structure, we are working to finalize the precise mechanism by which we could potentially include both a series of tax-exempt notes and an SSA overlay. Either way, we are proposing that the redevelopment agreement will provide for a funding on a reimbursement basis for the development of public infrastructure improvements that I've discussed. To the extent these projects rely on debt financing, there will be interest costs incurred as part of the construction of the public improvements. The developer, or CDOT, will construct the public improvements and be reimbursed using increment generated within the Cortland-Chicago River TIF, potentially over the next 23 years. In terms of the citywide benefits that will inure from the development of the Lincoln Yards project, it will bring $6 billion in new private investment to Chicago that will result in roughly 18 million square feet of mixed-use development. Additionally, this investment will create approximately 24,000 new permanent jobs, 10,000 construction jobs, the provision of 1,200 affordable units. This is in addition to the development of 21 total acres of new privately funded public open space and 1 mile riverwalk. Other benefits provided by the development include $64 million in North Branch Corridor bonus funds, which could be used within the North Branch area, $56 million in industrial corridor fees that will be used for other infrastructure improvements throughout the city's other industrial corridors. To reiterate, we're here today to address the public infrastructure issues outlined within the North Branch Framework Plan. We believe we have identified a responsible, effective path for addressing those issues while unlocking the full potential of the largely vacant site. By utilizing proceeds from the development to fund the public infrastructure and improvements on a reimbursement basis. Based on our review of the proposed plan, the Department of Planning and Development requests that the Community Development Commission recommend that the City Council take the following actions. Approve the redevelopment plan, designate the area as a redevelopment project area, and accept the adoption of tax increment allocation financing for the area. In addition, DPD has thoroughly reviewed the proposed project, the project's conformance with the redevelopment area plan, and requests that the CDC recommend to the City Council the designation of Cortland Chicago River Partners LLC as the developer. We also request that the Commission provide DPD with the authority to negotiate and deliver on the City's behalf a redevelopment agreement with Cortland Chicago River Partners LLC. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hastings. Please let the record reflect that Commissioner Davis, Commissioner Thomas, Commissioner Alphonse, and Commissioner Buford had joined the meeting. Now, before we open up for the public comment, Alderman Hopkins, would you like to say a statement?
I would. Thank you, Chairman Perez and members of the Commission. The last time I was in this room...
Just a second. If the public is going to be interrupted, you will be removed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The last time we were here in this room discussing this, I brought letters of support. Since that time, I have gained additional support, and I brought those letters here. I'll enter them into the record. But suffice it to say that we're not unanimous here today, either in support or opposition. Any project of this scope and scale and magnitude is going to generate a variety of opinions. I've listened to all of the opinions. I've listened to the opposition. I've listened to those who are still trying to make up their minds, and I've listened to those who have submitted these letters of support that I bring today. And it is with that in mind that I'm here today to encourage a favorable vote by this body for the Cortland-Chicago River Tax Increment Financing District that's before you today. And in explaining my position, how I arrived at this support, I would like to state one of the questions that I've been asked most frequently in the previous weeks, and I'd like to answer that question. The question that I've been asked is, why not delay? So you're entitled to an answer, those of you who have asked that question. I'm going to give it to you now. The reason that we should not delay this TIF and to move forward was just presented to you right now in a survey and an inventory of the needs of my community and the needs of our city as a whole. We need traffic and transit improvements in the neighborhood that I represent today. We need 3 new bridges over the Chicago River to accommodate the existing traffic conditions today. We can't afford another delay. We need to build out our highway and infrastructure system. We need the road improvements and the signalization that are in this redevelopment plan. We need it today. The existing conditions that my neighbors have to live with and deal with the type of congestion and lack of infrastructure and crumbling bridges is unacceptable. We can't wait any longer. The time to act is now, and the time to move forward is now. And this TIF will provide us with that. Now, it's not just for my neighborhood. The benefits of this proposal, as you've just heard, are citywide in scope. 24,000 new jobs coming to the city of Chicago. Many of them we expect will be relocated from other jurisdictions. Those are jobs that pay a good wage, that a family can live on, that someone can choose to be here in Chicago, to stay, to live, work, and play in a new development like Lincoln Yards. That is an enhancement that benefits the entire city. The 10,000 construction jobs that you'll hear from some of the proponents today, they need those jobs for their members. The 1,200 affordable housing units that are on the table, we have an affordable housing shortage. We need to solve that today. We can't wait for that any longer. We need to act now. This will bring us 1,200 units closer to meeting that affordable housing deficit that has been so well documented. $4.5 billion in economic impact on a citywide basis. What city can afford to walk away from that? We're watching that dynamic play out right now in New York City, and it's very interesting to see the supporters and the opponents of Amazon as Amazon is pulling back and making a decision to do something else. But even the most ardent opponents to Amazon coming have acknowledged the need for economic growth, the need for jobs that pay a living wage, and the need for any city to move forward and to be attractive to people who choose to invest in that city. That's what's before us today. And if we make this decision to go forward, we will see that type of economic growth that we're in competition with the New Yorks and the Washingtons and the Austin, Texases of the world. We can't afford to wait any longer. We can't afford to sit on our hands when something like this is on the table before us. I've heard the opposition and I've heard the request for delay. There's no reason to delay when we have something before us that will benefit our entire city as a whole and benefit the community that I represent. I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Hopkins.